Welcome to the HN Pod, where your daily look at the Hacker News front page.
That's right.
It is Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, and this is number 41 in our series.
41 already, wow.
Today, we're really going to try and unpack some of the big tech conversations happening right now on HNM.
Yeah, lots happening. AI hardware shakeup, some OS debates, privacy stuff too.
Exactly. We'll sift through the noise, try and find the signal for you. Let's dive in.
Okay, so first up, the huge news. OpenAI reportedly buying an AI startup from Jony Ive, you know, the Apple design legend.
For $6.5 billion, all stock.
Yeah, $6.5 billion. It's a massive number.
And the HN reaction, it's been, well, mixed, is putting it mildly.
Definitely. Some excitement, sure, but a lot of skepticism. Disbelief, even, about that valuation.
I saw comments comparing the announcement photo, you know, Altman and Ive together to, like, satire or a wedding invite.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was an unusual approach. Very staged, perhaps.
It felt different, but the bigger question everyone's asking is, what does the startup actually do?
Right. There's no product we can see. No website. It's kind of a black box right now.
So the speculation is running wild. Is it an acqui-hire? Just buying up design talent?
That's certainly one possibility. Hmm. Getting Ive and presumably his team on board. Or
is it the hardware play? Is this the first real sign of an OpenAI phone? Some kind of AI device?
That's the other major theory buzzing around, an AI first piece of hardware. It makes you think.
It really does. And you have to consider Jony Ive's track record. Iconic designs, no doubt.
Absolutely. Changed the game at Apple.
But also, you know, the butterfly keyboard. Removing ports. Form over function criticism.
Mm-hmm. Those definitely came up on HN.
Yeah.
People questioning if his magic needed Steve Jobs as that sort of editor, that counterpoint.
Kind of a fair question. How much was the dynamic versus just the individual?
And it ties into OpenAI's larger strategy, doesn't it? Are they trying to own the whole stack?
Like the iPhone of AI, controlling the software and the hardware.
That's the comparison floating around.
Yeah.
But there are counterarguments too.
Right. Like maybe AI just gets better integrated into the phones we already have. Does it need its own device?
Exactly. Is an AI-first device necessary, or is it better embedded? That's the debate.
And that all-Stark deal figure, the $6.5 billion for basically an unknown quantity, it raises financial questions, too.
For sure. Questions about OpenAI's valuation, maybe strategic moves regarding their nonprofit structure.
You can't help but draw parallels to other, maybe overhyped tech ventures from the past. It feels very ambitious.
It does. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Another big topic was Signal.
Ah, yes. Signal's default stance. No automatic screen capture recall.
Right, which stands in pretty stark contrast to all the noise around Microsoft's new recall feature for Windows.
Oh, yeah. That recall feature has kicked up a lot of dust on Hacker News. Major privacy red flags for people.
Understandably. Concerns about misuse, surveillance potential in domestic disputes, or by hackers. It's serious stuff.
And Signal's whole brand is privacy-focused.
Hmm. But it's interesting, they have disappearing messages for text, right? But call logs, date, time, who you call, that metadata stays.
Which raises its own questions, especially for people in really sensitive situations. Metadata privacy matters.
Definitely. The discussion also touched on Signal trying to block screenshots sometimes.
And that whole DRM debate. Is it user protection or corporate control?
Always a tricky line. And, of course, alternatives like Session came up, comparing security models.
Now, interestingly, that Signal thread sort of spun off into another familiar HN topic.
Let me guess. The year of Linux.
You got it. The perennial debate.
It never dies.
But, you know, the argument being made now is that the user experience really has improved a lot.
People are pointing to distros like PopOS and DevOS, saying they're stable. Pretty user-friendly for basic stuff now. Browsing, email.
Yeah, much smoother onboarding than, say, 10 years ago.
But the big hurdles for mainstream adoption, they're still there.
Like actually buying a laptop with Linux pre-installed at, you know, Best Buy or Walmart.
Exactly. It's that circular problem. No demand means no pre-installs. No pre-installs makes demand harder to build.
Still, you hear more stories now, right? Anecdotes on HN about families, even older relatives, using Linux. Or Raspberry Pis.
Yeah, there seems to be a slow, quiet growth in certain niches. Maybe for stability or cost reasons.
But then there's the support issue. Helping your non-techie relative troubleshoot Linux. That can be a thing.
Still a potential challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
And the lock-in from software like Microsoft Office is still huge.
Can't ignore that. And the perception, fair or not, that Linux is mostly for tech folks.
That perception lingers. Chrome OS was mentioned too widely available, especially in schools.
But maybe not hitting the mark for a lot of general users, despite Android app compatibility improving.
Right. And then there's that whole convergence idea. Could your docked phone become your main computer someday? Android keeps getting more capable.
An interesting thought. Okay, a couple other quick mentions from the front page. Debstraw.
Yeah, this seemed like some kind of development tool or maybe a model. The main comment highlighted its low resource use.
Under 20 gigs, which is pretty good for dev tools these days.
Definitely caught people's attention. And it prompted a question about other agentic dev tools, AI coding assistants, that play nice with local models.
Because some existing ones, like Cursor apparently, struggle with local model performance.
That was the user's experience, yeah. Finding performant AI coding help that runs locally seems to be a pain point.
Gotcha. Then there was something much older that popped up.
Yeah, animated factorization. From way back in 2012.
Wow, blast from the past.
Its reappearance suggests it's still a really engaging, probably visual way to explain math factorization. Must have struck a chord again.
Cool. And finally, something about collaborative text editing.
Right, an article proposing ways to do real-time collaborative editing without using the usual complex methods like CRDTs or operational transformation.
Okay, that sounds like something engineers would click on, finding simpler solutions to hard problems.
Exactly. Anything that potentially bypasses the complexity of CRDTs or OT is going to generate interest for people building collaborative apps. Less complexity, maybe better performance.
Makes sense. So looking back at the HN front page today, quite a mix.
Yeah, it really highlights that constant tension, doesn't it? Big, bold AI bets, fundamental debates about privacy versus features, and that slow, steady march of alternative tech like Linux.
Absolutely. And our goal here for you listening is just to give you that concise overview, pull out those interesting bits and different viewpoints from the HN discussion.
Hopefully give you a good sense of what the tech community is chewing on right now.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. We see AI moving into hardware, these privacy debates getting louder. How do you see your relationship with technology changing in the next few years?
Mm-hmm. What are the trade-offs you're thinking about? Between getting the latest innovations, the convenience, and maintaining control over your data and your devices.
Definitely something worth pondering as all this continues to evolve. Lots to keep an eye on.